Here is a question I want you to sit with. When you look at the traffic display on your panel or your tablet, and the picture looks clean and clear, do you know exactly what you're seeing? Not generally, specifically, because there is a real difference between what most pilots assume they're getting and what the system is actually providing, and that gap between assumption and reality is worth about 20 minutes of our time today. I'm Vector on Cleared Direct, right here on Radio Hangar. Today we are getting deep into TISB, the Traffic Information Service Broadcast, and the ADS-B traffic architecture that most pilots have never fully mapped in their heads. We are going to break down how it actually works, where the edges of your picture are, and what falls outside your display, even when everything looks green. Before we get there, a quick word from the people who support this show. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones: first solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey, beautifully made and built to last. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's break this down. When the FAA designed the ADS-B network, they were solving two separate problems. The first was position broadcasting. Get every aircraft broadcasting its own precise GPS-derived position, altitude, velocity, and call sign continuously to every other aircraft around it. Peer-to-peer, no middleman. That is ADS-B out. Every aircraft with an ADS-B out transponder broadcasts its position once per second. Other aircraft receive that broadcast directly, air-to-air, without any ground infrastructure involved. When you see a target on your display that came from a direct ADS-B contact, you're looking at data that is less than 2 seconds old. The latency through the radio link is measured in milliseconds. That target moves in real time. It is as current as any instrument you have. That is the elegant part of the system. The hard part was the second problem. What about aircraft that do not have ADS-B out? What about aircraft outside your direct radio range? What about targets on the other side of a ridge you cannot see over? And what about giving pilots who only have an ADS-B in receiver a broader picture of the airspace around them? The answer was TISB. Here is how TISB actually works. The FAA built a network of approximately 700 ground stations across the continental United States. Those stations serve as nodes in a two-way system. They receive ADS-B out broadcasts from aircraft flying overhead, feeding that data up into the FAA's traffic management network. Simultaneously, they receive radar data from the existing secondary surveillance radar infrastructure, the en route radars, the terminal area radars, the various types covering the national airspace. All of that data, the radar returns and the direct ADS-B contacts, gets combined into a composite traffic picture at the ground level. And then the system does something that required quite a bit of engineering to get right. It figures out where you are based on your own ADS-B out broadcast, the nearest ground station identifies your position, and generates a tailored traffic package specifically for your aircraft. Then it broadcasts that package back up to you. That package covers a defined volume of airspace centered on your position, roughly 15 nautical miles in every horizontal direction, roughly 3,500 feet above and below your altitude. That is the TISB service volume, the bubble. Inside it, the system attempts to give you a composite picture of all detected traffic. Here is where the data quality story starts to get complicated, because not all traffic inside that bubble is equal. Direct ADS-B targets, the aircraft broadcasting their own position once per second, arrive with very low latency. The data is fresh, the position is precise to GPS standards, the altitude is GPS derived. TISB targets are different. Those are radar-painted aircraft being relayed to you through the ground network. Radar has a scan rate, depending on which type of radar is covering a given area. The update rate could be anywhere from about 4 seconds on a fast terminal radar to 12 seconds or more on en route radar. That data then travels through the ground network to the broadcast station and then back up to you. By the time a TISB target's position arrives on your display, you could be looking at information that is 10 to 15 seconds old. 10 to 15 seconds. At a combined closing speed of 250 knots between two aircraft, that is over a mile of closure that has happened since that position was recorded. So, on your traffic display, you may be seeing two fundamentally different qualities of information, displayed with essentially the same icon, without an obvious visual distinction telling you which is which. Some avionics suites do differentiate. Garmin displays use different symbology for direct ADS-B targets versus TISB targets. A direct ADS-B target gets a solid symbol. A TIS-B target gets a different shape or fill, indicating it came from the ground relay. ForeFlight and some other EFB applications do the same thing. But pilots often look at the display without knowing what that symbology distinction actually means, because they never read that section of the manual. This is not a criticism of the pilots, it is a systems design communication problem. The display presents a unified traffic picture, and the engineering behind the different quality levels of that picture is not communicated well at the interface level. You see traffic, you feel good, and that feeling may not be entirely accurate. Now let's talk about what TIS-B cannot show you at all, because there are significant categories of traffic that fall completely outside the picture. The biggest one is terrain-masked radar coverage. TIS-B depends on radar seeing its targets. Ground-based radar is line of sight. Mountains block it. Valleys hide from it. If you're flying at low altitude in mountainous terrain, threading a pass, following a river canyon, the radar horizon may be above your operating altitude. Aircraft on the other side of that ridge are invisible to the radar network, and therefore invisible to TIS-B. The FAA acknowledges this openly in their ADS-B program documentation. The system was designed to serve the airways and instrument flight operations at cruise altitudes, where radar coverage is solid, low altitude VFR, mountain flying, and operations in areas with significant terrain are environments where TIS-B coverage has real gaps. Here is the one that hits closest to home for most GA pilots. When you are in the pattern at a non-towered airport, you are probably below any meaningful radar coverage. You are at low altitude, you may be near terrain. You are in exactly the environment where TIS-B is least effective. The traffic you care most about in that environment, the other aircraft working the pattern at your home field, may not be appearing on TIS-B at all. What you're getting in the pattern is essentially direct ADS-B contacts only. If anyone is flying without a transponder, or with an older unit that does not broadcast ADS-B out, or with malfunctioning equipment, they are invisible, not showing up as a gap. Not flagged, just not there. This is not a flaw in the sense of broken engineering. This is the honest consequence of a system that has to work with physics. The engineers built the best network they could, given radar geometry and radio propagation, but the result is that the traffic picture at one of the most collision-prone phases of flight, the pattern at an uncontrolled field, is also one of the least complete. Now, let me address the frequency split, because this adds another layer to understanding what you actually have. ADS-B out operates on one of two frequencies. Aircraft flying below 18,000 feet have the option to use 978 MHz, called the Universal Access Transceiver, or UAT. All aircraft needing to fly above 18,000 feet or operate internationally use 1090 MHz extended squitter, called 1090ES. Here is the critical point that many pilots do not know. TIS-B traffic and FISB weather, that is the Flight Information Service broadcast that delivers date-linked weather, are only broadcast on the 978 UAT frequency. They are not broadcast on 1090ES. What does that mean practically? If you installed a 1090ES transponder to meet the mandate, and your ADS-B and receiver only listens on 1090, you are getting direct air-to-air traffic from other 1090ES aircraft, but you are not receiving TIS-B. You are not receiving FISB weather. You have the air-to-air layer of the system, not the ground relay layer. Many pilots do not know this. They assume they have the full ADS-B picture. They have part of it. The solution is a dual-frequency receiver, a device that listens on both 978 and 1090 simultaneously. The Garmin GDL50, the GDL52, the Stratus 3, the ForeFlight Sentry Plus, all of those receive both frequencies. You get the complete system. If your panel has a certified ADS-B and receiver, but it is 1090 only, you may want to supplement it with a portable dual-frequency receiver to get the weather and TISB layer on top. There is also one more condition that the bubble requires, and this one surprises people when they learn it. The TIS-B service volume is generated for you because the ground station knows you are there. It knows you are there because it received your ADS-B out broadcast. If you are flying through a ground station coverage gap, in an area where no station can hear your out signal, no station will generate your personalized TIS-B package. The bubble does not form, you get direct air-to-air contacts only, so the completeness of your traffic picture depends on the completeness of your out coverage, not just your in coverage. You have to be seen to be served. Now, here is the good news. And there is real good news in this story. In the environment TIS-B was designed for, it is genuinely excellent. Flying in Class B or Class C airspace at cruise altitude, in good radar coverage, on a properly equipped aircraft, the traffic picture you get is nearly complete. The airlines are on it. Business aviation is on it. IFRGA aircraft are on it. The compliance rates in controlled airspace since the January 2020 mandate have been very high. The data tells an interesting story when you look at traffic conflict statistics in high-density airspace over the past several years. In environments where ADS-B coverage is strong, the traffic awareness picture has improved substantially. The system is working. In the airspace it was built for, it is working well. The gaps are at the margins. Low altitude, complex terrain, non-controlled airports, and unequipped aircraft. That last category deserves a brief mention. The mandate covers Class B, Class C, and Class D airspace, and Class E airspace above 10,000 feet. It does not cover the vast majority of uncontrolled low-altitude airspace. Agricultural operators, recreational aircraft under certain conditions, gliders, balloons, vintage aircraft operating with exemptions, all of them can legally operate without ADS-B out in significant portions of the national airspace. In the areas where those aircraft are common, your traffic display has holes that are invisible from the display itself. So here is what I want every pilot to take away from this. Understand what your avionics are actually receiving. Know whether you have a 978 receiver. Know what your display's symbology means. Read the section in your avionics or EFB manual that describes traffic target types. This is not optional background information. This is understanding your instrument. Calibrate your trust level to your environment. Cruise at 9,000 feet in Class E with good radar coverage. Flying IFR on a properly equipped aircraft. Your picture is about as complete as it gets. Pattern work at an uncontrolled field in mountain terrain, scan outside. The display is supplemental. Watch for TIS-B target behavior. If a target appears to freeze and then jump, that is the radar update cycle showing through. A direct ADS-B target moves smoothly in real time. A TIS-B target steps. That distinction matters when you are trying to evaluate where something is going and whether it is a factor. And treat traffic alerts as alerts every time. The display tells you where to look. Your eyes find the aircraft. The see and avoid requirement in Part 91 does not get suspended because you have a traffic display. The engineers who built TIS-B were solving a genuinely hard problem. They took a nationwide radar network that was never intended to feed airborne displays, combined it with new ADS-B infrastructure, and created a traffic situational awareness system out of the combination. The limitations of that system are exactly what you would predict from the underlying physics. Line-of-sight radar, finite scan rates, frequency allocation decisions, made for good reasons. The limitations are not bugs, they are the consequences of real engineering constraints. Here is what most people miss. The value of understanding ADS-B in is not just knowing what it shows you, it is knowing what it cannot show you. That knowledge changes where you point your eyes. It changes how much you trust a clean picture. It makes you a smarter pilot in the airspace where the system is strong, and a more appropriately cautious pilot in the airspace where it is not. The FAA's ADS-B program documentation and the Aviation Safety Reporting System database were both useful for this one. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Vector. Fly smart.